This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, September 27th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Newsom decides on pesticide and Sigma bills. Irrigation District inks new water conservation agreement and disaster aid bill dropping today. Newsom decides on key pesticide bills. Governor Gavin Newsom signing a pen is heating up as he dispenses with hundreds of bills in another round of legislative dumps this week. He casts pivotal decisions on pesticide legislation. The governor signed a ban on first-generation anticoagulant rodenticides. Assemblymember Laura Friedman of Glendale authored AB 2552 that to protect wildlife and build on an existing ban for certain rat poisons. An ag coalition successfully convinced Friedman to drop a controversial provision that would have enabled residents to sue pesticide retailers on behalf of animals. Newsom also approved a bill on pesticides applied near schools. AB 1864 sets a new requirements on notices of intent for applications within a quarter mile of public and private schools. Assemblymember Damon Connolly of San Rafael had removed a list of non-restricted pesticides he had sought to specifically target with the requirements. That whittled to the opposition down to just county ag commissioners who worried about implementation costs. Yet the governor vetoed Connolly's proposed ban on glyphosate along roadsides under the guise of integrated pest management. AB 99 would have required Caltrans to abide by the county pesticide bans as well as other ordinances. Newsom did not like the idea of overriding state standards and worried about the potential for billions of dollars in ongoing costs. In his veto statement, the governor claimed unclear terminology and the bill would lead to implementation of an enforcement challenges as well as complicated patchwork of regulations. Newsom instead promoted his sustainable pest management agenda. Newsom has yet to decide on AB 1963 on paraquat. That's the bill started as a ban, but Friedman eventually narrowed it to mandating a re-evaluation of the herbicide by 2029. Sigma-related bills get the pen and the bin. In the same tranche of bills, Newsom cast his vote on legislation aimed at leveling the playing field with groundwater conflicts and shaping the San Joaquin Valley post-Sigma future. He signed into law a measure to help the Westlands Water District expand its energy portfolio. AB 2661 boosts the district's authority to own and operate renewable energy infrastructure. The water provider looks to invest in solar and battery storage as more acres go fallow. Assemblymember Esmeralda Soria of Fresno chaired this signature and said her bill will create jobs, help farm workers retrain and transition into skilled trades, and spur economic development. Allison Fabo, Westland's general manager, thanks Soria for recognizing water districts can play a significant role in generating renewable solar power to help the state meet its ambitious clean energy goals. Newsom also signed a bill requiring board members at groundwater sustainability agencies to file financial disclosure statements. Senator Melissa Hurtado of Bakersfield reasoned that such transparency is fundamental to effectively manage groundwater and protect communities. A thumbs down. The governor, however, vetoed Connolly's bill to exempt wetlands and disadvantaged communities from Sigma. Farm groups had argued it would have undercut the ability of local agencies to raise the funds needed to implement plans. Newsom agreed with their argument that AB 828 did not align with Sigma's comprehensive approach to water management. To the relief of farmers and consternation of reformers, he asserted the state should stick to the existing Sigma framework. Newsom also nixed a bill to boost the state's water supply by 9 million acre feet by 2050. Senator Anna Cabarella of Merced had pushed the date back to buy more time for the Department of Water Resources to craft a strategy for meeting that target. Newsom countered that his administration has already laid out a vision for promoting climate resilience in the water sector. The governor on 2022 set his own non-binding water supply goals. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Imperial Irrigation District inks new Colorado River Water Conservation Agreement. Imperial Valley farmers have agreed to conserve 700,000 acre-feet of Colorado River water in exchange for the federal government's commitment to invest a total of $250 million for salt and sea restoration efforts. The agreement, which spans from 2024 to 2026, was signed at a ceremony on Wednesday that was attended by Imperial Irrigation District General Manager Jamie Asbury, Bureau of Reclamation Commissioner Camille Tuton, and representative from the Baird Water District, the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, and Arizona's Gila River Indian Community also attended. The agreement aims to build 10 to 12 feet of additional water elevation at Lake Mead, a critical Colorado River reservoir, according to a release. Though both the new agreement and a previous one from 2023, Imperial Irrigation District could conserve up to 800,000 acre-feet of water from the river, that according to the release. Lawmakers to propose $14 billion disaster aid bill. 12 House members today introducing a $14 billion disaster aid bill to compensate producers for weather-related losses in 2022 and 23. The Agriculture Disaster Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act, led by California Representatives David Valadao, the Republican, and Jimmy Panetta, a Democrat, would give the additional money to USDA to compensate producers for losses from floods, hurricanes, drought, tornadoes, wildfire, and weather-related pest damages. Some $1.5 billion could be targeted to livestock producers, losses or costs associated with relocation, feed or shelter-in-place procedures. Other funding could cover damage to wine grapes from wildfire smoke. Now keep in mind, leaders of the House and Senate Ag Committees already are talking about a possible package of supplemental ag assistance to compensate growers for 2024 disasters as well as the downturn in the commodity market. No aid package will move until Congress returns after the November 5th election. Well, here's today's final word. It is a challenge, but it is something that people in agriculture will always rise to the occasion and find a way to make it beneficial for all. That Fidelia Irigoyen, market executive for Agribusiness West at Wells Fargo, describing the challenge of Sigma in this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, September 27th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Dowling.